All right, what a great opportunity for us to just get in his word today and continue on with our sermon series. I'm going to back up a little bit because sometimes that speakers get right in my microphone. So, hey, we are continuing our series in Back to the Basics for our Banner family. This is a sermon series that really takes on the elements of the early church and kind of shares with the importance of how important it is for us today, still, in our church, as Banner. And it goes, of course, along with that has been our devotional to go out throughout the week for you to be able to be together, but yet not necessarily together, but yet be together in the word and prayer over one another and for your family. And so if you have not been doing that, I recommend you start right away. So let me take you into introing to this sermon. This sermon specifically this week is about community. And the entire series really is born out of these small few verses from Acts. And this one specifically this week is Acts 2:42. So let's remind ourselves of what that says. Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. So in this verse, we see that the early church found it important of and found the importance of gathering together with one another. That's not always popular in today's world, gathering together in one another, because some of us really don't like each other. Not necessarily anybody here, of course, but in general, as humans, there are times that we just don't like each other. So gathering together is a rough, difficult moment. But the early church found it very important that they gather together. See, the idea of the early church, of what it meant to be in community and gather together, and the idea of today's world, of what it means to gather together, is sometimes a little bit different. Sometimes completely different. See, they seen community as a commitment to not only what they were doing, but they were making a statement about who they believed in and who they sought after. See, that was a very important commitment to them. Sometimes today, I'm not saying anybody here, but, you know, there are people who see it as something else to do. You know, instead of a commitment to Jesus, the one we follow, the one we seek after, we see it as something else to do. We go to church because it's something to do. It's an obligation that we feel led to do. But then some others feel like it really imposes on their individualistic mentality that I really want to be about me. You know, my relationship with Jesus is private anyway, so it's about me anyway, so why would I go be a part of a community, a church body? See, it's easy or to do it on your own. It's easier to be by yourself. It's how some of us perceive it. Some of us look at it that way. Again, not saying anybody here because you're all showed up this morning, which is great. Or on the other hand, you know, when you look at the early church, they sought after one another, to be with one another, to fellowship with one another, to be in community. See, that is a difference. Sometimes in church today, again, not our church, but some church somewhere in the U.S., they say, this is my Bible study. This is my prayer group. This is what my. And the early church said we. It was very specific about saying we gather together. We have this moment together. We have this time. It's our church, our prayer group, our small group study. But rather today, the words have changed, become my and me and I and all these individualistic ideas. See, community is more than just what it means to be a Christian. You know, a lot of times we grew up and we think, well, to go to church is, well, that's just part of my Christian duty. It's what I should do. I feel obligated to do such things. But really, it's actually a part of what God calls us to. He calls us to community with one another. He calls us to be with one another. It's more than just a obligation because we feel guilty when we don't go to church, but a actual call from God to be a part of one another, to one another with one another. And that is something God calls us to. And to be a part of a community is a very valuable thing of what it means to be in Christ in the church. And to be in community is a very powerful thing as a community. And so today, let's really dive in what that really means to be in a community together. So if we look forward in these slides, unity in community is my first topic I want to talk about. Your Christian walk is intertwined with the idea of community, that it's not separable. It's not something you can just separate. It is together, that everything you are as a Christian, as a believer, should be intertwined with the idea of being in community with one another, that we must plug into that community and be with one another. But there's times, as we've all probably felt at times in our lives, that it's easy to show up to a church, even to Banner, and say, well, I showed up, but not actually plug into what it means to be a part of the people or in the community or of the people of God. Because just showing up and sitting in a seat doesn't mean you are plugged into the community. It means you've showed up today and you can tick mark I showed up today. But that is not what it means to plug into the community of God. Plug into the community of Banner. But at least you got your check mark. And you did a good job and you get a sticker for showing up. So let's look at this picture of like heaven. I think that's a good place to start. Let's look at Revelation 5, 6 through 13. It's a picture of heaven. And I want to kind of go there for a moment and we're going to draw some application from it. Revelation 5, 6 through 13, as we look at the picture of heaven. It starts off like this. Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing before the throne, and the four living creatures among the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. When he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slaughtered. And you redeem people for God by your blood from every tribe, language, and people, and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands, plus thousands of thousands. They said with a loud voice, "The Lamb who was slaughtered is worthy to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I heard every creature in earth, on earth, under earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, "Blessing and honor and glory and dominion to one seated on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever." Look at that picture. Don't miss the idea of the picture. They were gathered together, thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands, countless, raising their voice in unison, in community, to the one that was slain. See, the picture of heaven is a picture of community. The picture of being together. See, we have to have the understanding that it's about being together, but too often we find this idea of me and my and what I want that comes in the way of what it means to be in the world. See, we look at the church, we say, me and Jesus have this relationship. Me and Jesus have this reality in heaven. When I get to heaven with Jesus. When I get to heaven with Jesus. What about it? The other look at it? Because if you look at heaven, you look at this picture of heaven that Revelation gives us, is it an I? Is it a me? No, it's a we. When we get to heaven with Jesus, when we praise his name, when we give glory and honor to the one seated on the throne, when we give the honor and glory to the one who allowed us to be there. Because heaven is a we and Jesus reality, not a me or an I reality. I think that sometimes we miss that understanding and forget to grasp that importance. We talk in terms of I and me, and we forget all about we. Because we are a family. We are a community. You cannot be a community of one. You cannot be a we of one. It is a togetherness, a community, a one another with one another. See, worshiping in unity with the one who deserves it is where all the glory and honor should get to. Not you, not me, but we. Because he deserves all our glory and honor. But community comes at a risk, right? Being together with one another comes at a risk. And I put the but at the end on purpose because the reality is it comes at a risk, but. That is what you really have to understand in this sentence. That the sense of community, the sense of togetherness, the sense of one anothering comes at a risk. But. And that is the important thing to understand here. See, sometimes imperfect people act ungodly. Again, not talking about anybody here. I've seen people act ungodly. Again, never here, but other places. I'm sure you have seen people act ungodly. I'm sure you've seen it happen to the point you were hurt by it. Maybe that's the case. But the reality is to understand is that we don't have it together. The people that hurt you don't have it together. The early church didn't even have it together, even though they had these great ideas. But they were willing to try. They're willing to stay in community despite some of the hurt and pain that may have been caused by those around. See, the reality is that if you're one of those people, and like I said, nobody here, I'm sure, that were hurt by the church, pausing for effect because you have to hear this statement. You don't get a pass. You don't get a pass because you've been hurt. God calls us to community. He doesn't say, if you've been hurt, don't worry about coming back. It's okay. You can be individualistic at that time. No, we don't get a pass because we've been hurt. For an early church, sitting at the table was that statement piece. I serve Christ. And I come together as a community, as a body of believers, because I identify with Christianity. I identify with Christ, the one whose blood was shed for me to stand before you and with you. You don't get a pass because of that. See, to follow Christ was part of the community. It was part of being a part of that community, not just in name only, not just coming to church or community and getting my check mark for the week, but being a part of the community. And sometimes you're going to get hurt because, don't tell the elders this, but sometimes people suck. Okay? You aren't going to have it all together. You're going to fail miserably sometimes. You are absolutely going to make mistakes with each other's feelings. But it's a we in Jesus reality. And Jesus can heal us of those things. Jesus can heal the hurt. But he doesn't give us a pass to leave the community because we've been hurt. So I want to take a little, today's a perfect day to give this example. I'm going to talk about football, and I'm going to talk about heaven. Okay, see now, picture this. Heaven is the Super Bowl, right? It's where everybody's trying to get to, right? Well, the Super Bowl, in terms of football, everybody's trying to get to the Super Bowl, right? So what do? They go to training camp, right? So if heaven is our Super Bowl, what is this? Training camp. So think about that. In training camp, if a lineman misses a call and makes a mistake, and the quarterback gets sacked and hurt, is the rest of the team furious at the lineman? Well, yeah, they're upset with him because it's a game, right? It's sports. But did they leave the team? I'm so upset at you. I can't believe you missed that block. And leave the team. No, because would you have a full line? No. You have to have the full line. So what they do is they get back down and they rerun the play. And they do it again and again to get it right, right? So what about church? Let's look at this. Community, gathering together. You are going to miss a play. But the goal is not this play. The goal is heaven. Staying in a community is how we get there. Together, rubbing shoulders with one another, working through the hurt, working through some pain, rerunning the play. Because the goal is not Banner Church. The goal is heaven. And he calls us in community to be with one another. We have to put our hope in heaven, not in this play-by-play action. This is our training ground. And we have to be in community with one another. He calls it to us. Because if a lineman or any other player on the team took a pass, like, hey, I can't believe you missed that call. I'm taking a pass. I'm going to the locker room. I quit. Sure, someone's going to step up to fill the gap. But that hurts the team. That hurts the community. But if we stay together, work through the pain, rerun the play, and get it right, we go to the Super Bowl. And that's what we need to do as a family, as a church family, as a community. Get it right and work towards the Super Bowl, which is heaven. We don't get a pass because you've been hurt. You don't get to quit because you've been hurt. See, Christ, look what they did to me. They hurt my feelings. You'll get no sympathy here. I'll help you work through it. But you get no sympathy. Because I've been hurt by the church. Some of you have been hurt by the church, by the elders, by leadership, by a person who says some mean comment. But we stay together, we don't get a pass. We stay in community as one, as we seek the one who calls us. See, here's another thing for you. See, a lot of people say, I love Jesus, but I don't need community. Let's see if there's any flawed logic in that. There might be, I don't know. Maybe I'm completely off base in this statement. I love Jesus, but I don't need community. See, there are a lot of people at church, like I said, not our church, but a church, who are really religious, who really believe, like, I really love Jesus, but I really just want to come in on Sunday morning, get my check mark, show my face, I've got it, and leave. And not want to know one another, not get to know one another, not want to get to know one another, but rather come and go. You get noticed because you want your check mark. You want your check mark of, I've been here. But the reality is that we don't really want to be a part of the community. See, there are also those people who really believe themselves to be really religious, but feel like they're doing good on their own. You know, so they're at home, reading their scripture, praying, but staying together in their own self, in their own communion with God. And they forsake the community, the fellowship, the togetherness, the one anothering that God calls us to. See, what happens in those moments is that people get lost. People miss the point of what it means to be in community, that there's more than just reading scriptures, more than just praying to God. There's more than just that communion with one, with God. That it's about one another. That we're all trying to get to the Super Bowl. We're all trying to get to heaven. And this is our training ground. And that we work well together, helping each other, strengthening one another, growing one another to get to heaven. And that's how we do it, together. Because I personally don't disagree with myself. Because when I think of something is great, it's great. Seriously. I'm sure none of you think that way, but you all think, you know, it's great to be together because they make me better. But I sometimes think, man, I'm pretty smart. I got this all by myself. And any moment in my Christian walk that's ever happened, I failed miserably. In any moment in my Christian walk that I thought I had it all together, that I didn't need someone else, I failed. Because I thought I was the smartest guy in the room. And I was wrong. We need community. We thrive off having community together. See, loving Jesus is a need for community. We sharpen one another, grow one another, encourage one another. See, when you look at this sermon series of Back to the Basics, community is such an important factor in that. That we can study scripture on our own, we can pray on our own, we can have communion with God on our own. But I tell you, when it comes time to making the wrong choice, when it comes time to sin or not sin, you'll go with whatever your heart desires, whatever you feel like is good for you, and you won't consult anybody. You may even not consult God in those moments. You'll consult yourself, and magically, you will be right down the wrong path. What about part one of this? Does community really matter? And here's something for you to understand, that there's an important factor about community. See, does community really matter is important and something for you to think about. It's a very critical question for us to ask each other. If you talk to people, you have all kinds of reasons why they don't want to be a part of community, why they refuse to be a part of community, why they don't need community, why they're good at home with the televangelists. They don't need community. Some of those things might be is the church is full of hypocrites. They say one thing and do another. I've been hurt by those leaders at church. I've been hurt by those people. Church doesn't care about the things I care about. Church is too political. Too judgmental. I don't need community like that. But there are still others who say it's valuable. How it's important. How they say that community grows them to have a deeper relationship in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to put a pin on that, and I'm going to come back to this topic. I want you to think about that. Is it that idea that I don't need community because, well, they're all hypocrites? Or is it the idea that I need community because I grow deeper in my walk and my belief with Him? See, it really comes down to the nature of God. And this, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 27 for a quick moment. Genesis 1, chapter 1, 26 through 27. So let's consider the very nature of God. 26 says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish and sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He said, create them male and female. So we look back at the creation account. God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. One of the things I need you to understand is that there was never a time that there wasn't a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in community with one another. And so they made you, created you out of their likeness. What were they empowering you to do? To be in community, to be like God. And your likeness should show like them. And they stayed in community, and there was never a time that they were not in community with one another. See, God created you out of his likeness. And that is very important to understand about God's nature and what he calls you to, what he desires you to be, and what he wants us to be as a church family. See, there are many moments in Genesis that are could draw out in these times. You think of husband and wife being formed together and united together with no shame, but then sin entered the picture, right? There was a brokenness in the community between God and his people. But then Christ redeemed us, shed his blood for us, and brought us to and back to that community with him. That is the picture. That is the picture of community that we need to look for, desire, and go after. There's more to than just I and me, that it really is about we in those moments. See, there's this idea about one anothering. See, in community. See, Scripture in the New Testament mentions about 47 different times these different one another statements. I'm going to read a few of them real quick. And then if you want the list of them, just get back with me later and I'll give you all the instances that it shows. The New Testament alone, there are 47 specific times it says one another. So let's say this. Here are just a few. Be at peace with one another. Be of the same mind with one another. Bear with and forgive one another. Confess sins to one another. Through love, serve one another. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Pray for one another. Be hospitable to one another. And that's just a few, short list. See, those characteristics of one another is really the definition of community. One another. Being with one another is the key to what it means to have the likeness of Christ and understanding the nature of God and his character. See, when we come together as a body of believers, we come together in community, we allow others to speak into our lives. Which, if we want to be individualistic, there's usually a reason for that. But coming together as a community, as a body of believers, as fellow believers of Christ, we ask each other to speak into our lives and hold us accountable. See, we display that new community of what it means to be in community with Christ together by one anothering, just as Scripture tells us to do. One another with one another. And through this community, we bring this idea of what it means to be Christ-like to reality, to be a part of a community is togetherness. And we do it in one anothering. So the second part of this Does community really matter? Question. I wanted to pause there for just a second, talk about God's nature, what it means to be together. So there's this Christian author called Tim Keller. He had this to say about community. You can't know God, change deeply, or change the world apart from community. See, there's all those moments that, you know, you did something good for Christ's kingdom. But in every one of those moments, they're few and far between that one individual had such an impact all by themselves. Billy Graham didn't become great evangelist on his own. He had a team of people that helped him minister to the nations. It's a we in community together. In community, you bear the image of God. You see God's nature and you live it out. It's our idea to be in community and proclaim his likeness. And I'm going to remind you, community is going to be tough. You will have difficult moments in community, just like the early church did. That's why Paul rebuked some people about the way they lived in community with one another. You will have issues at church. Chances are you may have an issue at Banner at some point in your walk with us. But one another well, and you'll work through it. Because the goal is not Banner. The goal is heaven. So let's bring this into our wrap up. Got a few minutes for you to share some thoughts with you. See, for those of us that believe in Jesus Christ and have repented of our sin and turned to him, we are called by him. We know that we're called by him. We're called by him to be in the community. We're called to him, by him to be the church. We don't always do that well. We fail sometimes. I know it's hard to hear that your pastor fails sometimes, but I fail to one another sometimes, just like you will. But if we continue to one another together, we can get through it, and we can understand more about what it is to be in him. See, it's more than just attending church. It's more than just being a part of a Sunday school. It's one anothering well together in the hopes that we get to the end game of heaven without turning away from him, without letting sin run our life. See, when you're in a community and you're one anothering well together, you ask these questions. How many people know the specific places where you are susceptible to temptation? How many people know the responsibilities that tend to overwhelm you? How many people know the idols that most entice you? How many people know the secrets of your past that still haunt you? How many people know the reasons why you might doubt the goodness and power of God? But see, when you're in community, they know. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, they should know. Ask yourself this. If some of your best friends you've had since childhood, how many of them know those answers? Being in community is important because it keeps us on our walk with him, the one who calls us. Does community matter? Yes, it does. Community matters because we rub elbows together, we shape each other, we grow with one another, we become stronger together as we one another with one another. I can't point to a scripture, and some of you might prove me wrong this week, but I can't point to a scripture that says you get a pass because you've been hurt. You don't get a pass because something happened to you. Christ calls us to him, and he calls us to be in community together. Community is not easy. But he calls us to one another with one another. It's not easy. It's going to be hard at times. But he calls us to one another with one another. Today I want to kind of close out scripture with this idea of what it means to one another and one another together. And we're going to read scripture together and we're going to read it aloud. I'm going to put it on the screen for you. That way everybody can see the same words, everybody can read the same way. And I want to read scripture together. Blessings and honor and glory and dominion to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Imagine that times a billion. Billions upon billions of voices raising up glory and honor to him. This is not the goal. We stay in community. We grow with one another. We want another well. Because heaven is where our hope is. Let me close out this sermon in prayer. And then I'll dismiss you. Father, thank you for all that you're doing. Father, we're so grateful for the way you encourage us, guide us, and direct us through your message. It is because of you that we even come here today. Father, we all felt called to come to you. Some of us maybe grew up as a sense of obligation to come to church. But Father, as we're here, as we grow in community, as we one another with one another, we know that you have called us to be in a relationship with one another to keep us on track, to call us to be your children, and to let sin depart from our lives. Father, encourage us, guide and direct us throughout the week as we remember what community really is. And as we shape and continue to shape what it truly means to be in community. Father, we are so grateful for all you do. We say this in Jesus' name, and all your people said, amen.